Holding up the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. In the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Eliezer telling us a case where a person involving the dinim of Mukta, where on Erev Shabbos, a person can be standing by the Mukta, meaning the area where he has fruit put out for drying, and say that I plan to take from this Mukta, from this area, some of this fruit to eat tomorrow. And we're talking about where the fruit is not 100% edible, because it's not completely dried yet, but it's most of the way there, so you could eat it b'deuchet. So then Rabbi Eliezer says that's enough to take away the problem of Mukta, because you designated it, whereas the Chachamim say you actually have to mark off and say from here until here. So now Rabbi Eliezer had mentioned in that connection that this is only doing, that this is doing Shvius. So the implication was, we said, because if it was during the other 6 years, then you have a different issue, namely that you need to take Trumas and Nisrus before you can eat from the fruit. This fruit, you haven't done Gmar Malacha with it yet. It's not finished drying. Only after that, usually, do you take Trumas and Nisrus. So therefore, if it's during the other years of the Shemitah cycle, then you would have Trumas and Nisrus to deal with. The question is, though, why? I mean, the fact is, the halacha is that you are allowed to eat a snack from fruit, from produce, before Gmar Malacha and before it's what's called raw pnei abayis, that it was brought to the front of the house or the front of the chatzar. So that led us into a discussion. Do we say that we know like this? This is all background over here. In order for produce to be chayiv and truma and meiser, it has to be that it was raw pnei abayis, and it has to be that it has to be after Gmar Malacha. There are also there are various other things besides the bias or the chotzer that also make it that now it's kavua, that now you'd have to take truma and meiser before you even eat a snack from it. We're going to go through a number of them in the Gemara, but right now we've been focusing on one of them, which is Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, then the fruit becomes kavua. And now you can't even eat a snack from it before you take truma and meiser. So now the question we were discussing was, does that apply even before Gmar Malacha? In our case over here, these fruits that are in the Mukta, Gmar Malacha isn't, we're not at Gmar Malacha yet because they're not 100% dry. If we say that Shabbos is Keveya, then that explains why Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that this method of his works only during Shemitah, because during the other six years, you would have to first take Truma and Meiser before you can eat from them. If you say that Shabbos is not Keveya, then we have to figure out why wouldn't he be able to eat one or two of them even without taking Truma and Meiser? Why would it be limited to Shemitah? So we were talking about, maybe just the fact that he's designating, maybe the very fact that he's saying Mikanani Oichel, that takes care of the problem of Mukta as far as Shabbos, but maybe on the other hand, that makes it that now it's Kavua as far as they can't eat Achilas Arai, he can't eat a snack from it without taking Truma and Meiser. So that's where we were up to in the discussion. So the Gemara now asks, so now we're going to continue from here till the rest of the Perek, we're going to be continuing on this topic of Truma and Meiser, and in particular, when something becomes kavua, such that you can't eat a chilas ara, you can't eat a snack from it anymore, you have to take Truma and Meiser before you eat any of it. So, given that the last thing we're saying is that let's assume that what's keveya, this fruit, as far as Meiser, is not the fact that Shabbos came, but the fact that he verbally said, that's enough to make it a kvius. The problem with that is, the Gemara says, the fact is, whatever is left over is going to be put back. In other words, what happens? He takes some, he's going to eat some, and then he decides, I don't necessarily want all of it. I took too much, so he puts some of them back. Now we're talking Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. We find that Rabbi Eliezer says, he says that if it's the kind of thing where you're going to put back what the leftover of what you took, then he holds that that's not enough to make a kvius. So that's even when you're taking it, how much more so where he over here, we were talking only Dibur, we was only saying the Kanani Noita Lamacher. So we're back to, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then it would seem that wouldn't be enough to make a kviyos. Only Shabbos would make a kviyos. And then we're back to the question, well, does Shabbos in fact make a kviyos even by something like this where loy nigmar malachta? So d'tnan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, another Mishnah in Maestris. By the way, worth mentioning. I mean, the fact that we have such a long sugya going a whole blot dealing with Mishnayos and Maestris b'chlal. What we have is, if this was a Mishnah someplace else, if this was a Mishnah in some place in Shas that had Bavli, that itself had a Gemara, had a Gemara in the Talmud Bavli, not necessarily would the Gemara be going on such a length into it. It would just say, you know, it would discuss that in its place. Because there's no Gemara Bavli on Seder Zroim, including Masechta Maestris, therefore, when the Gemara has occasion to talk about a Mishnah from those Masechtas, then it tends to take its time explaining it because there's not going to be a different place to do it. So that's why, that's how it is that we come to have a long sugya over here about Mishnayos and Maestris here in the middle of Masechta Beitza. Anyway, so the Mishnah says there in Maestris, Hanoitel Zesim in Amaton, if a person is taking olives from the matan to eat, a matan, Rashi describes, is a big keli where they pile the olives inside it. The purpose of it is you want the olives to be in a big pile over there where that raises their temperature because they're all one on top of the other. That softens them, and then that way when you press them for oil, you'll get out the oil much easier. So now you have this matan full of olives. You took some, you want to eat them, but then, and remember, this is before Gemar Malacha, because Gemar Malacha with olives for pressing would be when you press the oil out of them. So this is before Gemar Malacha. So you have olives in the matan. Tovo achas achas v'melach v'oichel. You can take one of them at a time and dip them in salt and eat them without having to take maaser. Now, usually, salt is actually one of the things. It's actually one of the seven things that is kaveya things as far as maaser. The Tiferes Yisrael gives a way to remember the seven things. The words kisimchas ein, like the joy of a mother, and those stand for the various. You have kavosh if you pickle them. Shabbos we said. Melach if you dip them in salt. Chotzer if it comes into the chotzer, and you have a few other ones that we're going to talk about in the course of the sugya over here. But anyway, the point is, just dipping them in salt by itself is only enough to make a kviyos. Only, as we're going to go on to say, only if you have a bunch of them together. So you can dip them one at a time in salt and eat them, and not have to take maaser first. The imtova of a nosan, the fun of asara chayev. But if he dips them in salt and puts 10 at a time in front of him together, where that's already significantly enough to make a kviyos, then he would be chayev to take maaser from them before he eats, before he continues eating. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says, I mean, it depends what kind of matan we're talking about. The mina matan tohor chayev, if the matan that he's taking from is tohor, if the olives in there are tahor, and the result of them is going to be tahor oil, then chayev, then yeah, he's chayev to take maaser from them beforehand. Minamatam tomei potter. But he says if he's taking from, and the reason is because, as we're going to explain soon, that we're talking about the person himself is tomei. So if he takes any olives out of there, any olives that he takes out become tomei by him touching them. So therefore, he's not going to be able to put the, and if he decides, I took too many olives, let me put some back, he's not going to be able to, because then he's going to be tamei the rest of the olives. So therefore it means that he meant to eat all of them, and therefore it's achilas keva. But minamatan tamei potter, but if he takes them from a tamei matan, then he's potter, because he could put the rest back. So to begin with, even though he took out 10, let's say, Rabbi Eliezer would say, it doesn't mean that he actually intended to eat all 10. He grabbed a handful, in this case 10. But he decides, I'm going to eat however many I feel like eating at the moment, and the rest I'll put back. And he says, "Mepneshu machzer is a moiser," because when the matan is tomei, then he's going to put back the rest. Therefore, it's not a kviyos. Ve'havinonba. So now we wonder about that in the Beis Medrash. Maishna reisho, maishna seifa. After all, the Mishnah is not saying anything about the person's status. So why is Rabbi Eliezer distinguishing between a matan tomei and a matan tohor without explaining further? V'amarababahu, and Rababahu says that's what it means. It means, as we said before, that we're talking about the person himself as Tomei. Reisha b'matan tahar b'gavra Tomei. The first case where it's talking about where the matan is tahar, but the person himself is Tomei. D'loy matzi mehadalei, he's not going to be able to put back the olives, the leftover olives afterwards, because he's going to be metame them and metame all the oil when he puts them back. A sefer, the matan tomei, the gabra tomei. Where's the sefer? It's talking about both them are tomei. The matzim hadulei. Where therefore he's able to put it back. and therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that's not considered a kavius. Now you have the question. Tosfos asks, if he's tomei, fine, he's not going to be able to put any back. How is he allowed? How is he able to take him in the first place? Isn't he going to be matami then when he takes him in the first place? So Tosfos says, because when he's taking them, only the ones that he touches becomes tummy. So it's easy enough for him to just take the ones that are sticking out on top, let's say, and without touching any of the other ones. And there are other possibilities anyway. Rashi says that. Tosfos adds, actually, that you have other possibilities as well. You have somebody else could give it to him. He could take them with a flat piece of wood that's not makabel tumah. Whatever it is, the point is he has ways of taking them, but putting them back, once he already touched them, they're tamei, and if he puts them back, they're going to be matame everything else. You do, by the way, have in that connection, there's a well-known machlokas rishonim, which comes up in many places in Shas, where you have sugyas and tumah v'tahara. How much food by itself can become tamei? Everybody agrees that to be matame other food, you need a kabeitza. So you'd have to be talking about over here that you have enough olives left over to be matame the other ones. But because we're talking about that it's all going to get mixed together and the oil is going to get pressed out of all of them, and the oil in these olives that were tamei is itself tamei, and it's going to be matame everything else. So that not. But the question is, to begin with, when you're taking them, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether you need a kabeitza at a time to become tomei as well, or can even less than a kabeitza of food at a time become tomei. If you say less than a kabeitza at a time can become tomei, then very well, each olive that he picks out will become tomei as soon as he touches it. If you take the view that you need a kabeitza of food to become tomei, then you have to ask how are these olives becoming tomei anyway? If he's taking them individually, and so the Tosfos Rid answer is that for purposes of considering how much food there is there that's able to become tomei, we consider for that in that sense as though all the olives were one big mass, because they're all piled one on top of the other, therefore you have a kabeitza over there. But as far as actually becoming tamei, you're right, only the ones that he actually touches will be from within that kabeitza, in effect, will become tamei. Anyway, the point is that we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that when you have something where you took some and you have and you're planning to put the rest back, because you figure to begin with you don't know that you're going to eat all of them, then Rabbi Eliezer says that's not considered a kavius. Now masnisin nami, therefore we could understand also our Mishnah, the mukta torah v'gavra tamei. We could say that our Mishnah is talking about where the fruit in the mukta is tahor, the person himself is tamei. So he's not going to be able to put back any extra. So therefore we could say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Moisore Choyzer, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer will agree that it's a kavius. The problem with that is that in our Mishnah, we're not talking about him taking it before Shabbos. If he was taking it before Shabbos, there's no chiddush that he's allowed to, that it's not mukta. The whole point is, the problem is, in our Mishnah, we're not talking about him taking in the first place. We're talking about Erev Shabbos, he stands there, he says, mikana ninoita lamachar, and Rabbi Eliezer says that's considered enough, that takes away the mukta status of this fruit, such that he's able to take some on Shabbos. But if Rabbi Eliezer is saying that even if he took some and he puts back the rest, then it's not considered a kavius. All the more so if he just said mikana ninoita lamachar, that Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't consider that a kavius. So we're back to so we can't assume, as we said before, that the fact that he said something is itself what makes the kavius. It must be that it's Shabbos, the fact that Shabbos comes, that makes the kavius and makes it that now he can't eat from this fruit without taking truma and ma'aser first, and that would explain why Rabbi Eliezer mentioned Shmita in his din, because this din would work only during Shmita. So wouldn't that show, therefore, that in fact Shabbos is keveya, even for loy nigma malachta? So is that in fact the case? Ela omer of Shimi Ba'ashi. So rather, if Shimi Ba'ashi says, you know what? Never mind what we said. What we were trying to say that the Mishnah is talking about that his dibur is what's keveya. You're right. The Mishnah is telling us that Shabbos is in fact keveya. So you're asking the question: Is that in fact the case? Even where loy nigma malachtoi. Which, so we had before, we had Rav Nachman saying that we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, that Shabbos works to be Keveya, even if Lo Nigma Malachtoi. Mazutra had said our Mishnah proves it. So even if we take away the proof from our Mishnah, we can still explain that Rabbi Yezer Ka'amrit, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi would say, you're talking in our Mishnah specifically according to Rabbi Yezer. Well, Rabbi Yezer is going according to his own Svara. He says that even taking truma, he says that truma, which is another one of the seven things that is keveya, that works even if lo nigma malachton v'chol shekein Shabbos, and therefore he would say all the more so Shabbos. We say that even if you have, so if you have produce, so in other words, the chachamim would agree that truma is one of the seven things that's keveya. Therefore, the chachamim would say, if nigmur malachtoi, and you took truma, so even though you didn't yet have re'ias pnei abayis, even though the fruit or the produce was not yet brought into the house or into the chotzer, nevertheless, the fact that you took truma from it makes a kvius, and now you can't eat from it without taking truma and maaser. And they would say the same thing as far as Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer is extending that also to where loy nigma malachta. So you don't have either. You don't have nigma malachta. You don't have raw pnei abayis. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer would say that taking truma from it is enough to make a kvius. And the same thing he would say that Shabbos is enough to make a kvius. All the more so, in fact, because Shabbos, we said yesterday, the eating of Shabbos is something choshu. So the Rabbanan don't necessarily have to agree with that. They could say, unlike what Rav Nachman said before, that maybe Shabbos is keveya only when nigma malachta. Where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that about truma? The Tanan, another Mishnah in Maisris tells us, peiros shetorman ad shel nigma malachton. If you have peiros that you took truma from them before gmar malacha, again, usually you would wait until gmar malacha, and then you would take truma. In this case, before gmar malacha, let's say, for example, you have grapes that you were planning to squeeze for olives, but before you did that, you already took truma from them. Rabbi Eliezer says it's also to eat a snack from them, because according to him, that now makes them kavua, and therefore that's one of the seven things, and he holds that works even before gmar malacha. V'chachamim matirin. Where's the Chachamim? Say it's mutter. So you see, therefore, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that truma is keveya, even with lo nigma malachtoi. Therefore, you can argue that Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing as far as Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer, in our Mishnah, is specifically mentioning the case where this is taking place during Shmita, where he stands by the Mukta and says, Mikanan inyotu lamacha. Therefore, truma and maaser is not a factor. But any other year of the Shmita cycle, yes, he would have to take truma and maaser before he ate from that fruit on Shabbos, because the fact that Shabbos comes in would make it that it's kavua, even though it's not nigma malachta, because they haven't finished drying yet. So the Gemara says, Tosh Mami Sefer. However, let's try to bring the Sefer of that Mishnah and see that maybe the Chachamim do not disagree with him about the Sefer of our Mishnah, rather. The Sefer, fine, you can't prove from Rabbi Eliezer's statement in the Mishnah about what the din would be as far as Shabbos being Keveya, because fine, that might be Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. But let's look at the continuation of our Mishnah here in Beitza and see what that shows about the opinion of the Chachamim, where it says, V'chachamim em ad sheyushim v'yoyma mikan v'ad kan. The Chachamim say it's not enough to just stand there and say, I'm going to take from this fruit. He has to actually mark off and say, I'm eating from here until here. Now, the Chachamim do not, it seems that the Chachamim are not arguing with the main thrust of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. They're not arguing with the scenario that he's giving and saying, you know what you're saying with a modification would work not only during Shmita, but during the other years as well. All they say is, you're saying Mikan Ani Oichel is enough to take away the Issur of Mukta, and we say you need to say Mikan Vad Kan. implying time of the Erev Shabbos Bashvius. So it seems the Chachamim, implicitly agree with Rebbe Eliezer that whatever it is, they're saying you have to be Yerushim instead of just Yomar, but they still agree implicitly that this works only during Erev Shabbos during Shemitah, Delav Bar Isurihu, where it's not a year when you take Meiser. The implication would be that during the rest of the years, since you have to take Maaser, it would be Aser. My timer. Now, according to them, why would that be? Lav Mishum de Shabbos Kavalah. Wouldn't it be again because Shabbos is Keveya? And that was so from that part of the Mishnah, we could prove Rav Nachman's din that Shabbos is Keveya, whether it was Nigma Malachta or not. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. Shiny hosam, kivin de omam, mikan rad kanani oichel, lemacher, since he says specifically, I'm going to eat from here till here, again, maybe his statement itself, maybe his statement calling it achila is enough to kabbalah, maybe that's enough to make it a kavius. Then we're back to the question, so now we're going to go through some of the questions like we went through when we were explaining the reisha, when we were explaining Rabbi Eliezer's shita. So we ask there, and we're asking similarly over here, Ihoch, he might hear your Shabbos, then why bother mentioning Shabbos? Afilu b'chol nami. According to the Chachamim, the same thing would be true on a weekday as well. If he says, I'm going to eat from here till here, his statement, I'm going to eat, would make it a kliyus. And the answer is, you could say that the Chachamim want to tell us the Chiddush, the same way as we said that you'd have this Chiddush according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Tevel is considered Muchon relative to Shabbos in the sense, She'im Ovav Atikne Mesukon, if you were over and took Truma and Maaser from it on Shabbos, it would be considered Muchon, and therefore the Issur of Muktzah goes away from it. Because the whole issue of taking Truma and Maaser is only Dirabbanan, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, then therefore, if you were over and you did it, then you would say, then that takes away the status of Muchan. That takes away the status of Muktzah, rather, and makes it Muchan. So therefore, that would be why the Mishnah told us this case, Davka, on Shabbos, to imply that din, that on Shabbos, it will, that on Shabbos, you don't have to worry about Truma and Maaser. Well, you do have to. You can't eat it. But you should know that there is a way, if you were to be over on Shabbos and take Truma and Maaser, it would be Muchan. Therefore, it mentions it Davka by Shabbos. But the Gemara continues, Urmini. Okay, so that's that then. So therefore, we can maybe say that our Mishnah supports what Rab Nachman is saying, that Shabbos is Keveya even with Loy Nigma Malachtoi, but maybe not. On the other hand, we could also understand that what is Keveya, this fruit, not necessarily Shabbos, but rather his Dibur, the fact that he said, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. Okay. Now, getting back to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, so far we said that Rabbi Eliezer says that we said definitely Rabbi Eliezer holds that Shabbos is Keveya, even where Lo Nigma Malachtoi. We said maybe the Chachamim disagree with him, maybe not, but at least Rabbi Eliezer definitely holds that way. But the Gemara says, Uramini, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Trumas. The Mishnah describes, Hoya Oichel Be'eshkol, suppose a person was eating from a cluster of grapes. Now, grapes are not usually considered Gmar Malacha because Rashi says most grapes are meant for pressing into wine. Mefarshim actually discussed that somewhat. Dachronim discussed that. Is that in fact, first of all, is that the case nowadays? Nowadays, we don't drink wine as commonly, but even, the fact that he's eating from these grapes, does that maybe change that and say that maybe that should make it Gmar Malacha? Because after all, he's eating from them, he's obviously not planning to press them into wine. Anyway, so Rashi is saying, though, that we're talking about that it's not Gmar Malach. So therefore, again, he's allowed to eat a snack from it. So he's eating. So he's eating from these grapes. The nichnas begin lechotzer. If he, while he's eating, he walks from the garden where the grapes grew into the chotzer, and the chotzer is one of the things that's keveya for meiser. Rabbi Eliezer oimer yigmer. Rabbi Eliezer says he's allowed to finish eating the grapes in the chotzer, because he holds the chotzer only makes kvius, only if nigma malachta, and these grapes is not nigma malachta. Rabbi Yeshua Omer lo yigmer, and Rabbi Yeshua says he's not allowed to finish them because the chotzer is keveya, even though it wasn't nigmer malachta. And another case, choshcha b'leile Shabbos. What happens while he's eating these grapes? A different case is Shabbos began. Rabbi Eliezer Omer yigmer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer lo yigmer. Then you have the same machlokes because Rabbi Eliezer says that Shabbos is keveya, is not keveya because not nigmer malachta. And Rabbi Yeshua says that nevertheless Shabbos is keveya. So therefore, so we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds just the opposite of what we said. We explained our Mishnah as saying that Rabbi Eliezer saying that the only thing that's making this fruit in the mukta kavua, such that you can't eat it without taking truma and meiser, is Shabbos. Because we shot down the idea that it could be his dibur, because we said the fact is he didn't take anything. And Rabbi Eliezer holds even if you take it, as long as you're going to put some back, then it's not considered a kavius. So the only thing left is to say that he says that Shabbos would be keveya, and therefore in our Mishnah he's limiting his din to Shemitah. But here in this Mishnah that we just quoted, we see that Rabbi Eliezer says that Shabbos is not keveya if it wasn't nigmar malachta. So what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? The answer is the Gemara says Hasam Kitkatani Taima. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer allows it is because we have a Braisa that said that explains why Rabbi Eliezer would allow it. When Rabbi Eliezer said you can finish the grapes, he doesn't mean you can finish it in the chotzer. He would agree that if you stay in the chotzer, you're going to have to take truma and meiser from those grapes before you continue eating. What Rabbi Eliezer means is you're going to be allowed to go out of the chotzer and finish it up. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is saying the fact that you accidentally walked into the chotzer in the middle, that's not enough to make a kavius, because given that it's not gemar malacha yet, so therefore in the chotzer itself you'd be also to continue, but you can go out of the chotzer and continue. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can't even do that. Once you went into the chotzer, then that's it; it's locked in. Similarly, the loik sha'omer Rabbi Eliezer yigmer b'Shabbos yigmer. When Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to finish after Shabbos began, he doesn't mean that you're allowed to finish on Shabbos itself. Then Shabbos would be keveya. Ella mamtin letzay Shabbos v'yigmer. What Rabbi Eliezer means is you can wait till after Shabbos and then you can finish the grapes. Rashi and Tosfos both explain that before we had the case. We had at the beginning of the sugya, we had a case of kids who hid away or buried some figs intending to eat them on Shabbos, and they didn't. They forgot about them, and they only found them lots of Shabbos. We said they have to take ma'aser from them. The difference is that there they were actually designated for eating on Shabbos. So the fact that they were designated for eating on Shabbos, then Shabbos is keveya them so strongly that even after Shabbos, that kviyus doesn't go away, and you're going to have to take ma'aser from them first. As opposed to over here, you never designated these grapes for Shabbos in the first place. You happen to be eating them when Shabbos comes in. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, yes, Shabbos is keveya them, but only on Shabbos itself. As soon as Shabbos is over, you can continue eating them. That's Rashi mentions that. Tosfos brings that and says another point also, which is after all, the grapes is not nigmar malachta. There we were talking about figs were nigmar malachta. So that can be another reason for the distinction. Anyway, the point is that we see that Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that you're not allowed to eat them on Shabbos, when we say that Rabbi Eliezer allows you to eat them even after Shabbos began, which we thought that meant he holds Shabbos doesn't make a kavius because not nigma malachta. No, what he's saying is you can't eat them on Shabbos itself, but you could eat them after Shabbos. But yes, he holds that Shabbos is keveya for Shabbos itself, even when not nigma malachta. So therefore, he's not contradicting how we understood him in our mission. So that reconciles what Rabbi Eliezer says. More on this topic, the Gemara says, "Ki also, what is the halacha? Ki also Rabin Amar Rabbi Yechanan." When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, "Echad Shab." You have a number of these things that are keveya. So we said altogether there are seven things that are keveya fruit or produce to make it chayev and truma and meiser to the extent that you can't eat achilas aray from it before that. So of those, Echad Shabbos, whether we're talking about Shabbos beginning, the Echad Truma, or taking Truma from them, which we mentioned before, the Echad Chotzer, or bringing them into the Chotzer, the Echad Mekach, and you have a fourth one as well, selling them. If you sell produce to somebody, then that also makes a kvius that now the other person is not allowed to eat from it without Truma and Meiser. That's one of the seven things. So any of those, Rabbi Yochanan says, all of those are kedeya only when nigma malachta. So only when nigma malachta, then Tosfos adds. So even if you didn't have raw pnei abayis yet, but you had nigma malachta and Shabbos comes, then you can't eat from it without taking ma'aser. If nigma malachta and you took truma from it, same thing. If nigma malachta and you brought it into the chotzer, same thing. Nigma malachta and you sold it, same thing. But any of those four things, if you did them before nigma malachta, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us differently than what we said before that they're not keveya and you'd still be allowed to eat an achilas are, a snack from them. Now, why is he mentioning those? Shabbos la'apukim idhilo. When he mentions that this is true as far as Shabbos, he wants to tell us not like Hillel. Now, it's also, Tosfos says, he's also telling us not like Rabbi Eliezer. But the fact is, okay, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. There's not as much of a chiddush in it. After all, Rabbi Eliezer is Shamusi, who he's a Talmud of Shammai. And usually the halacha is not going to be like him anyway. But therefore, says Gemara, would rather find somebody who we otherwise might have thought the halacha is like, and Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us not so. So la pukim de Hillel, he wants to tell us not like what Hillel says. The Tanya, amr peiros memakim lemakim mitzer. If a person is bundling up peiros, or amavir peiros is a different view. So he's carrying peiros from one place to another. Lichtsois, really, it's supposed to be. It says on the side, he's taking them from one place to another to make seos, to make dried fruit out of them. The kodesh alehin ayoim, and before he had a chance to put them out for drying, Shabbos began. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hillel la'atzmei oser. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Hillel alone says it's oser. Everybody else, all the other chachamim, his generation, disagreed with him. Now, we said before Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with him, but Rabbi Eliezer is from a different generation. The Hillel that we're talking about over here, by the way, the Maratz Chayas points out, is not necessarily the Hillel, the Chavar of Shammai. Because we know in their times, you really didn't have very many machloikasin yet, and we don't really find any place else where this is listed as one of the machloikasin of Shammai and Hillel. Rather, he says, this might be a later Hillel. In particular, he says it might be a son of Rabbi Gamliel the Yavna. So therefore, it would be a brother of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it would be an uncle of Rebbe. Whoever it is, whether it's him, whether it's the original Hillel or whatever, he holds such a thing as Osir, because even though it's not Nigma Malachta, because you intended to dry these fruits and you didn't finish yet, he would say once Shabbos begins, it's Osir. So Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know that's not the case. Shabbos is not Kedeya yet. You would be allowed to eat from it without taking Truma and Maisa. You would be allowed to eat Achilas Arei from it. Next, Rabbi Yochanan continues Chotzer when he says that when you bring it into the Chotzer, only if Nigma Malachta is it Chayev, that would be La Pukim Idi Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us not like what Rabbi Yaakov had said. By the way, when we say about Shabbos also, it seems that Rabbi Yochanan is also contradicting what Rabbi Nachman said before. Fine, the Gemara doesn't mention that because Rabbi Nachman is an Amora, and he and Rabbi Yochanan are allowed to argue with each other. Rabbi Nachman had said as a blanket statement that we learned from our Rebbeim that this is the case. But the difference could be, again, that we were talking there where you designated it for Shabbos beforehand, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is talking about when not. Anyway, when Rabbi Yochanan says if you bring it into the chotzer, it's chayev only if nigma malachta, that's, he wants to tell us, not like Rabbi Yaakov, the Tanan, namely, we learned a Mishnah, we quoted it earlier in the sugya, hamaver te'enim b'chatzer l'katzes, if a person is carrying figs through his chotzer, intending to make dried figs out of them, so we said his children and his family are allowed to eat achilas arei from it, and they're potter from meiser, because again, it's not nigma malachtoi. The Toni Allah, Rabbi Yaakov Machayev. Now we learn in a brisa in connection with that Mishnah Now, Rabbi Yaakov would say he's chayev. So now, Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know the halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov. The halacha is like the Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef, not the Stam Mishnah, but Rabbi Yosef. You heard a Potter, Rabbi Yosef. You heard a said Potter. So Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. You heard that. Next, Truma la pukim in the Rabbi Yezer. When Rabbi Yochanan says that Truma is not Teveya, unless Nigmar Malachdoi, there he wants to tell us not like Rabbi Yezer. Now, Tosfos and Amar Aleph points out, even though we anyway know, like we said before, that usually the halacha is, like, is not like Rabbi Yezer, here there's no choice. There's nobody else that we find who holds this way that we should say that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to exclude. Therefore, of necessity, we have to say that he's coming to tell us that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yezer, even though we probably could have figured that out for ourselves because Rabbi Yezer is from Beis Shammai. Anyway, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, we had it on Amud Aleph, Peter Shatorman Anshul Enigma Malachdon. If you took Truma from produce before Enigma Malachdon, Rabbi Eliezer Oysa Lechem and Arai, Rabbi Eliezer says also to eat a snack from them, Vacham Matirin, Lacham Seit Mutter. So Rabbi Yechanan wants us to know that the halacha is like the Chacham. And Mekach, what about selling? When Rabbi Eliezer said, not Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Yechanan says, that selling makes it a kviyos, so and you can't eat an achilas arei from them, but only after gemar malacha, as opposed to who? So kedutanan or kedutanya, really, it's a braisa. Halakeach te'enim me'ama oret. If a person buys figs from an ama oret, then it depends. Does it? So an ama oret, we know they're not always careful to take meiser from their produce. Therefore, we have the question: do you have to treat it as mai? But makam sheroiv bnei adam dosin. If it's in a place where most people don't eat the figs as is, they dry them and they press them to make the gulay dvela, the famous cakes of pressed figs that you find throughout Shas, well, then it means in such places, figs are not nigma malachas. Therefore, oichol mehen arai, you can still eat a snack from them. Because again, it's not nigma malachas. So the fact that you bought it from him is not keveya. Rashi explains you still have to have it wasn't raw pnei abayis, because Rashi learns that if raw pnei abayis, then it wouldn't really matter whether nigma malachdan or not. But here we're talking about it wasn't raw pnei abayis, it was never brought into the front door of the house. So, and since it's not gemar malacha, the fact that you bought it from him doesn't change it. You're still able to eat achilas arek mit. When it comes, eventually, once you have gmar malacha, once you've made the igula dvela out of them, and you're going to eat them, then you have to take maaser from them as dmai, as usual when you buy from an ama aretz. So why is that? On the face of it, it wasn't gmar malacha. Shmamina plus. There were actually three dinim that we can learn from this braisa. Shmamina mekach ena kevas ela b'davar shenigma malacha. Number one, we learn what Rabbi Yochanan was telling us, that the fact that you bought it doesn't make it kavua unless there was gmar malacha, and here there wasn't, because we're saying it's a place where most people dry them and press them into a gulay dvela, and only once that process is done is it gmar malacha. Ushmamina, the third thing we can learn, the second thing we can learn is roiv amia oretz ma'asrin hein. Most amia oretz do take meiser, which we know that in general, that's the whole basis of the concept of dmai, is most amia oretz do take meiser. Therefore, the whole thing is only a suffix, and we know anyway that they do take truma. It's only misuffix the chachamim were machmir. But we see from that most of them are ma'asrin, otherwise we wouldn't have to treat it as dmai, we'd have to treat it as badai. And the third thing is, we can learn ma'asrin d'mai me'ama oretz afilu b'davar shel enigma malachta. Even where it's not gmar malacha yet, you would say to yourself, if it's not gmar malacha, would the ama oretz even have taken anything from it out yet? Again, usually truma and ma'aser is taken out only after gmar malacha. So you would say to yourself, then maybe you have to take truma from it as well. Note, the Mishnah, the Braisa rather, is telling us that you don't have to worry about that, even though you bought it before gmar malacha, because again, these are figs that are going to be dried and pressed into cakes. Nevertheless, we have enough of a basis to say that the ama oretz took at least truma from it beforehand, possibly even meiser, but fine, the rules of dmai tell us that we have to consider that not, and therefore you're allowed, and therefore you can treat them as regular dmai. Now, what's the point of that? Ula apuki mehodetnan. So Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying Mekach is not Keveya unless Nigma Malachtoi, so fine. In other words, he's telling us like this Braisa, but as opposed to what? So as opposed to Mehodetnan, this that we learn in a Mishnah, another Mishnah in Maestris, Hamachlif Peresim Chaveri, if a person trades fruit with somebody else, where trading is a kind of Mekach, So it depends. Zeh lechol v'zeh lechol. If both of them are intending to eat the fruit as is, so therefore it's nigma malachtoi, or zeh lichtzos v'zeh lichtzos, or each one plans to dry the fruit, which is not nigma malachtoi, or zeh lechol v'zeh lichtzos, or one of them intends to eat it and the other one intends to dry it. So for one it's gmar malacha, for the other one it's not. Either way, the Mishnah says chayev, that the Tanakama says he'd be chayev, because according to the Tanakama, nekach is keveya, even though it's not nigma malachter. So regardless, whether it's nigma malachter or not, the fact that you bought it from somebody else and trading it is the equivalent of buying would make it chayev. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, lecho chayev, lekatzis potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a person trades them and the ones that he gets he intends to eat, then he'd be chayev, because that's gmar malacha. But if he gets them lekatzos to make them into dried figs, then he'd be potter, because until they're dried, it's not gmar malacha and they're not chayev. So Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah and not like the Tanakhama. Okay, hadron halacha maybe. Getting back now to Dinim of Yom Tov, we're now at the last perek of the Masechta, which is going to talk about the beginning of it. Our first Mishnah is going to talk about a couple of things that are also umutter on Yom Tov, as the case may be, because of Tircha. And the rest of the perek is going to talk about basic differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and things that the Chachamim asked on Yom Tov because of Shavuos, because of Gzeiros D'Rabbanan, and then most of the rest of the perek is going to talk about dinim of tchumim as they apply to things. Of course, tchumim apply both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov it's more relevant because you can carry things. So that's going to be the subject of our parak. So the Mishnah starts off, Mashilin peiros derech aruba b'yom tov avaloi b'shabbos. Suppose you have fruit. Rashi gives an example where we have wheat or barley. Other Rishonim say the same thing would apply to other kinds of fruit as well. You have them out on your roof to dry. You see that it's about to rain, so they're going to get ruined by the rain. So you're allowed to mashilin. You're allowed to lower them down or throw them down through derech aruba, through a skylight in the roof, down into the house. The Yom Tov, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, avaloy b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. So Rashi stresses that we're talking over here about an aruba, which is a skylight. It's flush with the roof. But let's say, for example, Rashi says, let's say the roof had a mechitza around it, and you had a wall you had a window in that wall around the roof. So therefore, you'd have to pick up the fruit in order to throw it down. That you wouldn't be able to do. That to that extent, the Chachamim are not going to allow you to do that in order to save yourself from a hefsid. But over here, where it's an aruba, it's flush with the roof. All you have to do is roll over, sweep over the fruit into the hole, and it'll fall down. That you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Avaloy b'Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do on Shabbos because that's more tircha than the Chachamim are going to allow you to do on Shabbos. Another din, umachasim peiros b'kelit, this aruba, by the way, connects with this week's parashah about aruba shemayim niftachu, means the same kind of thing, with windows of shemayim open and then brought down the marble. So here you have a window, a skylight in the roof, where you're going to throw down the fruit to it. Umachasim peiros b'kelim mipnei adelef. Another din, if you have fruit inside your house and the ceiling, the roof is leaking, and again the leaking water is going to ruin them, you're allowed to cover that fruit to prevent it from getting ruined, because again, even you're doing it not necessarily tzarech yom tov, you're not necessarily going to eat that fruit that day, but the Chachamim allowed it, because otherwise you're going to have a hefsek. V'chein kadeh yayin, v'kadeh shemen, the same thing. If you have barrels of wine or oil, the same thing, you're allowed to cover them. The same thing, you're allowed to cover them to keep the water that's leaking in from getting into them. V'noisnin kli tachas adelach b'Shabbos, another din, you're allowed to put a keli under a leak in the ceiling on Shabbos to catch the dripping water, because otherwise the house is going to get all dirty. We're going to talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, what the detailed dinim of that, under what circumstances are you allowed to do that? Okay. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush is of some of these cases over here. The peiros are not necessarily ones that you can eat on Yom Tov because they might be ones you haven't taken truma and ma'aser from, for example, the kade yain and kade shemen might also be, etc. So first, the Gemara starts off with a linguistic thing. Itma, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, chad toni mashchilin, v'chad toni mashchilin. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, they had different versions of the first word of our Mishnah. Is it mashchilin, like we have it, or is it mashchilin? So Amar Mazutra, actually both of them are correct. Man de toni mashchilin le'mishtabesh, or man de toni mashchilin le'mishtabesh. Neither one is incorrect. Both mashchilin and mashchilin imply to lower something down, or throw something down. You have a pasuk in the Teichacha where Hashem warns that you're going to have olive trees, but you're not going to enjoy the fruit. Because the fruit will drop off the trees before it ever becomes ripe. So we see that the word yishal, which is the same shirdish as mashilin, means to drop down. And where do we see that the word mashilin can mean to lower the tznan? We have a Mishnah in Bechoris, when it lists various mumim that would make various things that would make an animal a baal mum and possible to bring as a korban, ditznan. We learn in the Mishnah there, among them are hashochol v'hakosol, the two deformities involving the animal's legs. Shochol means shenishmeta yurekai. Shochol means that its hip is dislocated. So like now, in other words, it's lower down than it should be. And kosol means she'achas miyachosev v'yam echavata, a kosol. Is the other way is that one of its hips is higher than the other. So Rashi explains, in other words, there's a point on the animal's body where the leg bone joins the hip bone. Usually it's supposed to be at a certain point on the flank of the animal. The flanks are called ksalim. Therefore, this animal with this deformity is called kosol. So if you have the hip joint is higher than it should be on the flank of the animal, then such an animal is called kosol. And if you have that, then the animal is a balmum. The point is, we see shochol means lower down. The animal is called shochol when it has a dislocated hip, which is lower than it should be. So therefore, the word in our Mishnah could just as well be mashchilin. Similar, the Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, man de toni mashchilin le'mishtabesh, or man de toni mashchilin le'mishtabesh. There's also two other possibilities. Instead of lamed, you could have reishes instead, and you could have mashchirin with a reish, or mashchirin, where you take the word mashchilin that we said, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, and instead put a reish instead of a lamed. Those also work. Le'mishtabesh, neither of those are incorrect either. And a fifth one, uman de toni manshirin le'mishtabesh. There's even a fifth possibility where you could say manshirin. You put in a nun there and you have a resh. That's also not wrong. That's also a valid way of saying it, because each of those, mashirin, mashkirin, and manshirin, is all a valid way of saying to bring something down. Uman de toni manshirin le'mishtabesh, to say mashirin is not incorrect. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Nazir. We know a Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, and Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, Rabbi Shmuel says not only is he not allowed to cut his hair, but Nazir lo yochef rosh ba'adama. He's not allowed to rub. He's not allowed to rub earth or clay into his hair, which they used to in those days as a hair treatment. Because this kind of clay has the property of causing the hair to fall out. So we see mashir is the same shirdish as mashirin. So we see that means to make something fall. The word mashchirin could also be a valid way. The Tanan, a Mishnah that talks about what kind of kalim, a Mishnah in kalim that talks about when is a kalim a kabel tumor or not. It says hashocher, a shocher, which Rashi says means a razor, v'hazug shel saparim, or a pair of scissors that belongs to barbers. Even if they were divided. So in the case of the razor, it means that the blade is not attached to the handle. In the case of the scissors, it would mean that the two blades are separated one from another. Nevertheless, tmein, there's still makabel tuma because you could use each part by itself. Tosfos asked, what do you mean with a razor? You can't use the handle by itself. So Tosfos actually says, no, a shocher is also a kind of scissors. The difference is a shocher is a small pair of scissors and a zug shomesperaim is a big pair of scissors. In both cases, they're called that whether it's a razor or whether it's a small scissors, it's called that Neshama Shchirin as a Seir, because they call hair to fall down. So therefore, so you see that the word Mashchirin and Shachar can mean to make something fall. Continues from Nachmetzuk, Man the Tony Manshirin, Lon Neshtabesh. Also, if you say Manshirin, that's also not incorrect. Because it's not Mishnah Noshu Kelev Amayim. The Mishnah says in Shabbos, if a person's clothes got soaked in water, fell into water, and got soaked in water on Shabbos, Mahalach Bem and Chosesh, he can continue walking in them and not have to worry that he's going to come to squeeze them out. More to the point, also there's no chash that people are going to think that he washed them on Shabbos because he has no choice. He has to walk with them while they're wet. So we see that noshru means to fall in, and the same thing, manshirin means to make fall. Inami, or another possibility where we see that the shodesh noshar can mean to fall down, mehodetnan, you have the Mishnah, ezehu leket hanoshu b'shas tzila. What is the definition of leket that you have to leave for poor people? Individual stalks that fall down while you're harvesting. So you see that the word noshu means to fall down. Why do you need two proofs for that one? Tosfos points out that actually in Shabbos, in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Rashi explains that the word there is not noshru kela baderech, where noshru means his clothes fell into water, but rather nishru. We're there, according to that, the nun is not part of the shodesh. It means they were soaked. The shodesh is shara, which means to soak. So therefore, that might be that so first of all, the fact that the Gemara is bringing it over here as a lashon of noshar maybe proves not like Rashi, but maybe in fact Tosfos says that is in fact maybe why the Gemara had to bring here a second proof that noshar means to fall, because some of the Amoraim might have said that you should explain the word noshru the way Rashi did, not noshru but nishru, which would be Meloshin Shriya. Whatever the case, so we see that all five of those Lashonis are valid ways of saying to make something drop, to make something fall. There's a Pirush on Masechta Beitza, by the way. There's a Pirush from a son of the Rambam, and the Pirush is called Ben HaRamban. We know that Ramban had a few sons. We don't know which one of them wrote this Pirush. Whatever it is, he points out that the Gemara doesn't say, well, why does each one not learn like the other one? Because all of these are equally valid ways of saying the same thing. There's no advantage to one of these Lashonis over another. These were just different dialect ways of saying to make something fall. Mashenken, for example, there are other Gemaras where you have things like that, where the Gemara talks about different Lashonis that people had in a Mishnah, and the Gemara says, so why the one who learns this way, why didn't he learn that way, etc. Because there you have a certain advantage to one over the other. Here you don't really. All five of them mean exactly the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tnan. Now, let's figure out, when we say that you're allowed to drop down the fruit from the root, how much? So let's, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, you're allowed to drop down the fruit or the produce or whatever through the skylight on Yantiv. Ad kama. The question is, what's the maximum that you can do before it's considered Tircha Yaseira? Amr Ab Zera, Amr Ab Asi, Va'amilo Amr Ab Asi, Amr Ab Yatnan, Ka'oisa Shashanini. It would be the same amount as what we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Mefanin Arba V'chomesh Kupris Shal Tevin V'shal Tua. You're allowed to clear away even four or five boxes of straw or of tvor, mifnei urchim, where you need room for guests. You invited a lot of guests and you don't have room for them to sit, so you clear away part of your storehouse to give them room, or mifnei bitul meis medrash, or to prevent the beis medrash from being bottled. Same idea, the talmidim need a place to sit and you don't have enough room. So therefore, you're allowed to move four or five boxes worth. So therefore, Rav Zera says, and the same thing would apply over here. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily. It's not necessarily the same thing. The Dilma Shiny Hossam, the Ikka Bitul Beis Medrash. You could argue, you know why? Because you have Bitul Beis Medrash, that's an important factor. And therefore, we're going to allow a large amount. Or the same thing for Urchin. But maybe just because you're going to lose money, maybe just because your fruit is going to get wet and going to be ruined, maybe the Chachamim are not going to allow you that much. Aval Hocha, the Lekka Bitul Beis Medrash, no. Here, it's only a matter of Hefzid. Maybe the Chachamim are not going to be so make on it. Inami hosam hainu taima da arba v'chomesh kupas jari, or vice versa. You could say, you know why you're allowing as much as four or five boxes? Because mishum Shabbos to chamira. Because after all, Shabbos is more stringent. You're not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos. Therefore, v'loy osi lezalzuli. Therefore, you're not going to come to me mezalzal. If you're allowed to move four or five boxes of straw or of tvua, you're not going to come to say based on that, you know what, then I'm allowed to do other things on Shabbos as well. But you're not going to think that way because you're going to realize that Shabbos is a very stringent thing. You're not going to be mezalzal bay. Avo yom tov to kill, but yom tov after all is more of a kula because there are certain malachas you're allowed to do. But also lezalzuli day, so you might come to me mezalzal in it. If you're allowed to move as much as four or five boxes worth, then maybe you're going to be mezalzal in it. Klau klau loy, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to at all. Now, what do you mean you shouldn't be allowed to at all? The Mishnah says you're allowed to. So in fact, Maharam Shif asks that question. And there are, in fact, some of the Meposhim who take out the words klau klau loy, but others explain, okay, the Gemara doesn't literally mean klau klau loy, means that maybe you only allowed less than four or five boxes, or maybe it means, based on the Mishnah and Shabbos, you could argue that you don't have permission to do any on Yom Tov. Fine, our Mishnah is telling us you can do a little bit, but maybe only a little bit. Marsha also adds a point. He says, when it comes to a malacha that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov versus on Shabbos, then of course Yom Tov is more lenient. But here we're not talking about an actual malacha anyway. Here we're talking about something which is a matter of tircha, and the question is how much you can do. Maybe then we should treat Yom Tov more stringently than Shabbos so that people don't come to get careless with Yom Tov. Anyway, inami le'idach yisa, or vice versa. You could argue the other way around. Hosam hainu time, you know why there you're limited to four or five boxes. Deleka hefsid mammon, because the fact is there's no hefsid over there. You need room for your orchim or the best medrash, fine. But we're gonna limit you to a certain amount because you don't want too much tircha on Shabbos. Avol hocha deika hefsid mammon, but here you have a hefsid afilu tuva nami. Maybe the chachamim, on the contrary, would allow you even more than four or five boxes. So we don't know yet. And the Gemara is going to continue. We're going to continue tomorrow with other dinim about what we say, what you're allowed and not allowed to do as far as moving the boxes on Shabbos. And we're going to ask whether the same dinim apply over here to Yom Tov. In the event, most of the posts can say, given that the whole thing is only dirabanan, and it's only because we don't want to do tircha yisera, then we can be makel, and we can say that you can clear off as much as necessary, even if it's much more than four or five boxes worth. But we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Shkoyach.
Welcome to you.